Hey guys, welcome to another episode of Genuine Chit Chat. This week is part two of my chat with Ryan Payne, a member of the band Scars of Protest. Now, I'll try and keep this intro a little bit shorter, mainly because one of my friends slash fans mentioned that my intro is a bit too long and rambly. If any of you guys agree with her, then be sure to let me know on Twitter, Instagram, any of those sort of things, because I'm always looking for feedback and to make some of my listeners' experiences a bit more enjoyable. But anyway, I'm not going to spend ages doing that because that would defeat the object of what I actually just said. So obviously I'd recommend listening to part one before checking this one out, where we talk about tattoos, piercings and that sort of thing. And in this part, we talk about some of the difficulties of being in a band, as well as sort of fluking our way through the passions, writing music. We talk about plagiarism a little bit because one of the bands that Ryan was in before Scars of Protest, it's called Guilty as Charged. They actually wrote a song just like a song by the band The Amity Affliction, and he talks about that, and he talks about it in a very open way, and he didn't mean to write a song that sounded so much like it, but it's just really interesting to hear what it's like from someone in a band when they write a song so similar to someone else in another band. I'm slaughtering the description of it, but yeah, it's a really cool chat. Towards the end of the podcast, we also talk about sort of music streaming and Spotify, as well as modern music like Post Malone, Drake and that sort of thing. So yeah, I'm not going to talk too much about this. At the end of the podcast, I'll give all the details of the sort of upcoming episodes and that sort of thing. And before the show starts is a promo from And The Losers Are, which I've done a promo for them in the past, but we're doing it again because they're just such a brilliant podcast. So be sure to check those out, you guys, and I'll be back at the end.
And The Losers Are is a podcast about cinema.
Yeah, they're called movies because, you know, this is America.
And because we invented them.
In each episode, three friends discuss the Academy's Best Picture nominees, as well as five other important films from that year.
Friends, huh? Yeah, it's more like acquaintances that I really don't even like.
I'm just here for the booze.
Talking of poor life choices, each episode explores a different year, accompanied by adult libations and hearty banter.
What he means is we get hammered, we say fuck a lot, we discuss movies and talk about our lives.
Like the one time I shit myself on a roller coaster?
Well, I guess the honeymoon's over. Where do we go from here?
Visit andthelosersare.wordpress.com and listen on your favorite platform today.
Welcome to Genuine Chit Chat, where we have honest conversations with interesting people. And I'm your host, Mike Burton. With music, it's a lot of the time I've heard that writing music is really good when if something almost calls to you and you've got good stuff going. But if you're in a band, sometimes it can be really frustrating because either you've got this idea and someone else is clashing, or you need to release just one last song to finish the EP, and for some reason this last song just isn't clicking right and stuff. So, like, what's your thoughts on that sort of thing? Like, what's your favourite parts of it and songwriting and all that sort of jazz?
My favourite part is probably getting feedback from people. I absolutely love releasing something or doing a gig and for someone to just come up and say, yeah, man, that's really good. I really like the sound of it. Or they'll specifically say something. Look, 2 years ago, our second gig was with Supporting Butcher Babies when they came down there.
Oh, yeah, I saw about that on Facebook. Yeah, yeah, because they're quite a big band.
Yeah, they came down there and some guy came up to me afterwards and said, yeah, you absolutely nailed it. You sounded really good. And then I think he was drunk because he did say my guitar playing was like Zach Wilde and my singing was like Matt Heafy. And I thought, sound nothing like either of them, but I'll take it. But I mean, yeah, stuff like that, just hearing people say good things about it, I love it.
What's your least favourite part about it? The grinding for gigs and shit?
Yeah, trying to get gigs with just starting up is horrible unless you've got a good backing or a good bunch of friends behind you. Like I'm a bit of a hermit unless it comes to gigs. I'll come down, I know people, but I'm not close with anyone.
Yeah,
so it's sort of, if I ask someone, oh yeah, check out my band, like, yeah, I might do, and then I'll just sort of have to wing it from there, and then eventually we'll get onto a gig with bands that I sort of know, and then it'll pick up from there. They'll give me a name. I'll go talk to them. They'll get us a gig somewhere else.
Yeah.
It's like, the furthest we went was, well, we played, Gilwich Charge. We ended up playing Wales, and then we also did a tour, but, well, I say tour, it was a weekender. Played Southampton, then went to Derby and Stafford, which was really fun. But it took so much work just to get to do that. How some of the bands are touring as much as they are, or you see a band say, oh yeah, we've got a gig with so-and-so, like a really decent band up in fuck knows field.
Yeah.
And it's like, how? what are you doing? I'm literally just hauling ass right now. But it's such a hard industry to get into.
Especially now with... because of... It's one of the beauties and curses of the internet. That's what I find with podcasting to a degree, where it's like... It's so much easier... It's easy now for me to... Obviously, podcasting is slightly different because it's almost because of the internet, but like, if I include radio and that, it's like, the easier it is for you to get into, the easier it is for everyone else to get into. And obviously with music nowadays, because of things like Spotify, which is great for the consumer but terrible for the musician,
yeah,
because it's just like, there's no money. Like Motley Crue, you know, back when their heyday, when they were starting, they were flying around in like jets and shit. They all had like, they had so much money they didn't even know what to do with it. And you get certain artists today who are like that, but there's like so the 1% of popular artists, everyone bums, and like, there's loads of money in it, mainly pop artists. And then most of the alternative bands, like I know you and I know this band, The Defiled.
Oh yeah,
they're a really good band. Like we saw them support Motionless, really good band. They got some really cracking tunes, but they weren't quite big enough, and so they end up having to stop because they didn't have enough money to keep going. And they were like, they did a few headline tours around England and I think the UK, around England, the UK, around the UK and America. They did loads of support tours where they were like the main support for so many bands, and they were making a name for themselves. I think on Facebook they've got quite a lot of likes, quite a few views on YouTube videos, but they were just at that cusp, not quite big enough. And because of that, being in a band is just so, it's so tasking. It's so draining financially as well as tiring. I mean, if you want to talk about that, like how people just don't get how much money it costs being in a band.
It's ridiculous. Yeah, I mean, well, even if you're just starting off as a musician, you're just getting all the gear, getting some decent gear to actually gig with.
Yeah.
I mean, like I said, obviously, the first two bands I was in, I was gigging with a 10-watt amp and it sounded absolutely horrendous. And the guitar I had was by a company called Stag, which isn't... I don't think it's even around anymore. If it is, it probably shouldn't be. But I mean, it's taken a lot to get where I am now, gear wise. And obviously, yeah, it wasn't cheap. And then even band stuff, you gotta pay for practicing unless you're lucky enough to have your own space to do it.
Yeah.
Then
a lot of people don't think about that. Like practice rooms, like Place of Planet Sound. How much are they for like 4 hours? Like
it's about 30-odd, 40-odd quid,
yeah,
depending if you're borrowing amps as well, because obviously if you don't drive, that's definitely a kick in the ass as well.
Yeah.
But if you were to practice maybe twice a month or four times a month, like I used to want to practice weekly just for the pure fact I wanted to get songs done, I wanted to get going.
Yeah.
But obviously 40 quid, that's 160 a month,
yeah,
between four or five of you. Then, if you wanted to get stuff recorded, that's more money.
Oh, that
music
cost
videos
a fortune.
Is a lot of money. Like I go to my mate Adam.
Yeah.
And he does all the Gilwich Charge stuff is recorded by him because he does decent tunes and he does it for really cheap prices. And I kept thinking he's honestly, why I'd want to go to anyone else if if we're making money, I'll go to someone else.
Yeah.
But yeah, stuff like that. But he lives in... I think he now lives in Andover, so you've got to pay for travel to get up there.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they say you shouldn't cheap out on stuff like this, but, I mean, if I'm being honest, if you can, I would, just because it's so much money. And obviously, yeah, if you do spend loads of money on making a song sound absolutely incredible,
yeah,
you've then got to put money into getting out there.
Yeah.
It's all well just sort of saying, yeah, we released this, but that's only around your sort of small circle of people that I can see it. But if you want that to actually go somewhere, you got to pay for PRs, you got to pay for promotion to get it out there, or companies to post it on their pages.
Yeah.
Like I'm starting something on the side to get something else out, and I'm trying to do all this, but looking at the price of it, I'm thinking, I'm gonna have to eat dirt for a while.
Yeah, so I was talking, because I know, because obviously my brother's in three bands, and Callum and Reese, obviously I lived with both of them, and when they were in Decipher, there's quite a few people in my life who are quite musical, and I do take an interest in people being musicians and stuff. And it's like, as you've been saying, it's like, well, first off, there's the equipment, you know, a decent guitar, or often two decent guitars in case one fucks up, as well as a decent amp and or a travel amp as well to take with you to gigs and stuff, as well as then you've obviously got the practice rooms to practice in. You've got to have the recording to pay for the recording. A lot of people like to do sort of really good music videos. Like, you can do ones like, when I made your music videos, I think they came out quite well, but compare them to, say, Decipher or Placeholders videos, they cost a few hundred quid each, and they do look quite a lot better in a lot of ways aesthetically than the ones I made, but it's whether or not you want to spend 300 quid on a music video, or if you can deal with a DIY one with a mate that maybe won't look as good, but hopefully the music will speak for itself. But you never really know, because, like, to get that lucky break, it can either be, like, I think it's Metallica, I think they played one gig and they got signed, because there was a talent scout wherever they played, and it was like a right place, right time sort of thing. Obviously that was in the 80s, so it's a bit different dynamic now, but you could have terrible promotion, have terrible recording quality, but play one gig where the right person hears you, and they hear what they need to hear, and they invest in you properly. Or you could put all your money in promotion, all your money into music videos, have the best sounding shit, and then, because of luck or bad luck essentially, no one really hears you, and you invest so much money and time into it, and you really have to. And one of the reasons I've become a lot more sympathetic towards it recently is with obviously the podcast, and I keep bringing it up, but like, each of these mics, it's only podcasting you can do with your phone, but like, each of these mics was about 80 quid, the mic stand's about 20 quid, so that's already 200 quid just to have two mics. Pop shields, yeah, fiver. My laptop, fortunately I'm all right with this, I mean, it's quite old, but it works perfly fine. When this goes, I'm gonna have to spend a few hundred quid on that. And then it's also all these little things like hosting the if I want a website, you have to host for that. If you want the audio uploaded somewhere, you have to pay for hosting on that, which at the moment is £10 a month, which isn't too bad. But then I want to pay for more promotion for Facebook and Instagram and all these, so it keeps adding up and stuff, and it's like, all this, it keeps costing so much money, all these little bits adding up and up and up, and it's like, this is a passion and a hobby of mine, but I also have to work for a living and have a social life or have my own time to chill the fuck out, and it's all these things, there's not enough time for it all, not enough money, and it's just
I say I'm in this show like that at the moment. I need more money for band stuff, but I'm already working obviously so many hours, and then if I work more hours, I ain't got time to do the stuff I need money for, and it's like, I can't win.
No, you can't, especially our age and stuff, and our generation and stuff, it's even more of a nuisance and stuff. But I was gonna say with your band Scars of Protest, that's the band you're at the moment, is it? You're the guitarist.
That's right, yeah.
And do you do vocals for them as well?
I do a bit of backing, but I mean, it's the other guitarist, James. He wrote all the songs, so he knows the lyrics better than I do. There's like no lyrics anywhere, so it's just all what I can remember, and then just think, yeah, I'll scream here.
Yeah, well, live it's a lot of that. And I was going to say, when you said obviously feedback's the thing that you enjoy, if you could only choose to do one of two things, I know it's technically physically impossible, but if you could only either perform songs live or just write and release music online, what would you choose?
Oh god, that's a horrible question.
I know. It doesn't. If you don't know the answer, that's not the end of the world. I just thought I'd get your two cents on it.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, the feeling you get playing live is insane.
Yeah.
As the first couple of gigs I did, I was very sort of stationary. I was happy to be there playing songs and thinking, yeah, this is all right. But now, especially with the influence of alcohol, which I didn't really believe in the whole drinking before going on stage, but now I sort of maybe have one, maybe two, and I think, okay, I feel a little bit wavy. Yeah. It's all good. I got on there, and then suddenly, because you're just in such a rush, everything's moving, and it hits your head at least a little bit quicker, and you just think, fuck, all right, let's do this.
Yeah.
And then, but yeah, it's just nothing like it. Even if they don't sort of like it, they just sort of look at you and think, oh, he's having fun, isn't he?
He's going for it at least. Yeah.
But even like the other side of it, the recording side, for someone to sort of turn around and say, oh yeah, you know, I've listened to your song over the past couple of days, it's really good, really like it. Even if it's, you know, if it's a case of the song means something to them, or it connects with them, or if they just turn around and say, yeah, you know, it just sounds like really good. There's either riffs or vocals, or your style is really good. Yeah, you know, I'll always take that and just say, yeah, thanks. It means a lot. It means the world.
Yeah. Well, with Scars of Protest, obviously it's been the band you are in now. You told me there's someone that you're recording with, or is that right? Is it Hacktivist, that sort of thing?
Yeah. So we're recording in mid May with Timothy. He's a ex Hacktivist now. I think he's starting a band called Sopia or Sopia. I don't know. But it's...
if he's listening, you're sorry.
Yeah.
Was he also the one who was also in Heart of a Coward?
Yeah, one of the original members as well.
Yeah.
So it's I'm beyond excited to go see him. I think we've all sort of had our own discussion, and sorry if you are listening to this, but we'll all just be sort of sat there while he's mixing, doing his job, just taking selfies, go, look who I'm with.
Yeah, I've seen Hacktivist live as well. They were pretty damn good live. I really thought they were brilliant. I mean, I don't really know. Is Hacktivist still a band?
Yeah, they've I don't know what they're doing about guitarists now, but they released a new song. I think they're working on a new album or something, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely going places, those guys.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, they released their EP, and I was like, "This is fucking amazing!" It's like, and like anything else. And then they kept talking about releasing an album, and it took about 3 years to release it.
Mm.
And by then, a bit of the wind had kind of gone out of their sails a bit. And I think whatever reason it was for them being unable to release it is a shame. But it's like it took so long, I'd even kind of forgotten about them. And they released an album, and I was like, oh yeah, I saw them live twice like a few years ago now. I forgot they're even sort of a thing. I was going to bring up a couple of other things with you if you've got a bit more time to chat. I don't know if you've got how much time you've actually got, really. I mean,
no,
I don't
want to
keep you for too late. One of the things was this is one I was going to ask you, why the fuck not. If I gave you just like £1 million, like to be able to invest, not in say, quote unquote, smart way, not like just invest some property and then be comfortable for the rest of your life. If you had to do it on a project, if I just gave you like £1 million, what would you do with it?
Well, first thing, major gear upgrade.
Yeah.
Definitely. And then get all that sussed out. I'd get a couple of decent, solid songs. What I'd consider solid. I'd get them decently recorded, maybe not necessarily the best, but someone just half decent that can get me connections. I'd get out there, and then at least I'd probably just spend it all on promoting my music, try and get out there on a digital scale, and then word will spread. I'll have fucking the best musicians in the world coming to join me, and we're like, oh yeah, let's do this.
Yeah, create like a super group almost.
Yeah.
Would you like want to create your own studio and stuff? Like I hear like a lot of musicians, that's almost like the dream to have your own recording studio.
I can't record for crap. I mean, I used to try and do something, but it was all condenser mic, Audacity, put the amp next to it, and then I'd let it. I think there's still some tracks on YouTube.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and it was on back when, I mean, it was 14-year-old me thinking, yeah, you know what, I'm going to release the next best thing in hardcore metal. And ended up getting it recorded. I had my friend, Sam Wally, who I think he does loads of grime trapped stuff now, but he used to be in deathcore. And he was, I don't know, to me and my mate Callum, he was one of the best death metal vocalists we'd ever heard locally. And it was sort of like, wow, I have to get him on a song. And then he ended up being on it more than I was. And then... But it was so badly recorded. The vocals are really badly distorted. The drums were done on I found this little sample thing on website where you had to input the drums by block. And then I ended up just sort of recording it all. I don't know, playing it through once, recording it all, and then stopping it. I think, that'll do. The most tinniest sounding drums you'll ever hear. There's no bass in it, just one guitar. Putting that over it. And then vocals were just a case of, it's just one take. and then just me screaming Blue Murder down a condenser mic. But I always used to think, you know, cupping the mic's the best thing ever. So it's horribly recorded, and that's why I don't run a studio.
That's a very good reason to not do it. It's what's that with me? I'm trying to do podcasting and stuff. It's like when I was doing music videos and stuff. People would ask me questions about the camera. So I don't fucking know. I just got the camera. I just aim it at things and press the button. So I've always thought of myself as I'm not really a technical guy, especially when it comes to audio. Like, if people ask me about the mics, I know what the mics are because I had to buy them. But that's the only reason. I don't know the specs. I don't know. Like, I'm in a few podcast groups where there's quite a few people in there, really. I'm surprised how many people there are in these groups. But they ask questions about what the best mics to get because of these sorts of descriptions of them, like what their input is in kilohertz or anything like that. Like, I don't even know what to say as an example because I'm so inept when it comes to this sort of thing. And it's like, I don't know. I'm an ideas guy. I have an idea. I kind of try and do it, like I did with the music videos, like I do with the podcast, and I wing it. And I kind of, like with the podcast, like, I don't know any of the complicated stuff at all. I just know how to mildly edit some of the audio to make it sound a bit less crap, and that's it. Like, apart from that, I've tried before. Like, my dad, before he passed away, he played like this charity gig about 2 months before, and we recorded it, and the recording quality was terrible, and it's quite bad. And I put it on. We didn't know anyone who could do like proper studio work on it or anything for cheap because we were releasing it as a charity thing. And so I just messed around with it. I went on Audacity and I took off some of the background noise, increased this, increased that, and it was all right. But I tried messing around with some of the options on, like the equalizer and some of the levels, and there's about a billion options. And you look at them all and you're just like, you try and wing it, and you have to spend hours and hours and hours fucking around with things.
Yeah, it's like I've got a new pedal board, which is, it works as a amp. I could literally just take it to the gig and plug that in, and that is my amp now. And I at first I thought it was just a case of, you know, you select the sound and that's it, you're sorted. But there's so much more to it than that, and I thought, oh, I'm not prepared for this. And then it took a while getting used to it, but I mean, I'm not the best guitarist out there, but I'm not the worst. I like to think I'm semi okay, but
from what I've seen, you're a damn good guitarist.
There's still so much, like, the technical side of it, the actual guitar itself, I need to learn.
Yeah.
Like, whenever I'm looking for a new guitar online or something, and I'll see all these descriptions about it, I'm thinking, does it play metal?
That's it. Just, does it play metal? Yes, then I'll buy this one. Well, someone, Callum talks about it sometimes with guitars and stuff, and I know, I used to play a keyboard up to grade 2 or something. I was quite a novice and whatever, so I can read music, but I had a keyboard for 3 or 4 years. I don't really understand timed signatures that well. I have like a vague idea of it. I don't understand, like, I know what the chords are and I know what they kind of consist of and stuff to a degree, but it's like, even that base level simplicity of music compared to, that's not even knowing about music. That's basically just the blanket foundation of vague understanding. And then you go from there, and then, you know, as you say with the guitar and stuff, like, all these different guitars have come out, they've all got different sounds, and you can do all sorts of different things with them all, and it's like, I've got no fucking clue, mate. I can't play guitar at all. So I just look at these things, and I'm just like, I don't know. And I talk to people about this sort of thing, and it's like, I don't know. I make music videos. I don't know anything about video cameras. I have a podcast. I don't know anything about audio. It's like, I've made music videos. I should know something. I should have an idea. And I'm so into music and stuff. But yeah, I think that's so good. Just let me think about you with a fucking studio, and I could just imagine you sat in this big ass room with just a billion dials and knobs all around you, and you're just looking around, and it's just like you've spent all your £1 million, and you just look at it and you just go, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Staring at it like, I don't know what any of this stuff does.
It's like, even like effects and stuff, I'm probably the worst person to record with as well, because I'll record something, I know what it sounds like in my head that I want it to be, I know what effect I want put on it, but I don't know what it's called. So I think when we did the latest version of My Reflection, and the first part of the first verse, and it's got a nice effect on it. I knew I wanted that effect on it, but I don't know what that's called. And so I was just sort of saying, it's got that, it sounds like you're playing it for a crap radio. Can you put that on there? You know what I'm all about? It just makes, I was just giving it the worst description ever. But shit like that, I'm awful with. And trying to get effects like that on my pedal board at the moment, I'm looking at it thinking, just do it. I want to be able to just scream at it and it will do it.
Yeah.
And then I'll be happy. So I want to keep all this the same, but with this.
That's amazing. I was thinking about, I'll probably end up wrapping up, coming up soon. But I was going to say, I've got a couple more little things I want to ask you. One of them was sort of, with the music, what kind of, when you want to write, what kind of drives you to write in a sense? Do you write a lot of, like, an example is my brother Rob. He writes all kinds of genres of music. He's in primarily rock bands, but he says he's written songs before which he says that even Miley Cyrus could sing, because he just has all these songs in his head that he just kind of puts out. Are you kind of like that? Do you have loads of different genres, or are you more sort of focused in the writing of metal, or what's the sort of creative process for you like?
Well, with when I was in Guilty's Charge, obviously it was all, I didn't want it to have a specific genre, which is why I just kept saying, these are songs based from bands that I like. I'm putting it all together and just hoping for the best. But the fact that the recording was done so well, it generally sounded all right all together. And then we released Dead World, which was heavier, but because I do like the deathcore side, but I had to do it in a way, it couldn't be deathcore. It had to be more sort of just stupidly heavy metalcore.
Yeah.
And then after that all ended, I sort of write a bit of both. I love writing the metalcore side, but I love writing something that's just stupidly heavy.
Mm.
And then I kept saying, I just want to combine them both. There's no way of doing it. But obviously, yeah, I used to do the acoustic stuff. I don't do that anymore.
Why is that?
It's put it frank. I'm crap at the technicality of acoustic guitars. It's like the stuff that was on my acoustic EP that I did years ago, which I have not listened to in ages. But just listening back, from what I can remember and just playing through it every now and then, it's like, it's just so basic. I can understand why. I don't know how acoustic artists get as big as they are, but now it's all, I can't remember the word. It's all repetitive stuff. They'll, samples, I think.
Yeah.
But they'll play something and then it'll repeat. No, looper. That's it. They just loop it.
Yes. Yeah, I know what you mean.
So they actually make songs like that. I haven't got the, I'm not smart enough to do stuff like that. I'll play something and think, that's fine on its own. What else do you need? And then I'll try and put maybe a lead over it and then think, it's crap. And then, obviously they do the drumming with hitting the actual body of the guitar. I can't think of anything that smart. It's just too hard. And then even singing, I don't see how people write singing. I really don't, because most of my stuff sounds the same. I start off in the same note. I'll do the same sort of little progression. And then I think, okay, that's all good. Next song. And then I think, that sounds really good. But why does it sound familiar? Oh, yeah, last song.
Well, at least you're honest about it.
But I think that the one time I wrote something, I thought, you know what? This is really good. And I thought, it sounds a bit familiar, but I'm sure it'll be all right. And that was my reflection. And anyone who's heard the song and has also listened to Amity Affliction will know why it was a really bad idea to make it a single.
I think, was that the one where people on YouTube were writing on the thing saying, this sounds like Amity Affliction? Was that the...
Yeah, and people kept saying it was a rip-off of Open Letter. And I thought, it's just, the chord progression is the same. And I can, okay, that's kind of my bad, but... I'm not being funny. How many chords are there out there? There's only so much you can do. I'm not an amazing writer when it comes to melodic stuff. I'm more on just riffs.
Mm.
And then the singing wise is, it's just really shit luck. I mean, I never sort of wrote the song and thought to myself, you know what? That song sounds okay. I'm going to take that.
Mm.
But after it was released, obviously, I got told by some... I mean, even Toby from Our Hollow, he messaged me and said, yeah, I'm not slating the song or anything, but obviously, yeah, it does sound a bit bad. Like, in that sense, it's a good song. It's, you know, it's really well put together, but the chorus is too similar. I'd probably recommend doing something about it.
Mm.
But at this point, we'd already recorded it. We'd already paid so much for a music video for it. And then I just thought, you can't fight them. Join them. So I think we did it. We did a gig. And I thought, yeah, this is a Zami Affliction.
That's good. It's like, I know there's a guy we know, Dan Fry, and I think one of his music things, Reese was telling me about, he made a song, and then he basically showed the class, and a lot of the members of the class were like, this is Saint Anger, like, by Metallica. And he was like, and everyone started singing Saint Daniel at him instead, because it was just, because he knew the song and he liked Metallica, and he hadn't kind of put two and two together. And like, even my brother has said, he's written a song before and gone, this sounds really good. It sounds a bit familiar though. And then they finish writing it essentially, or they part write it. And then he's driving home or the next day or something like that. And he thinks, oh fuck, that's just this song.
Yeah.
Just like, cause there's so much music out there as well now, especially. So it's just like, it doesn't surprise me how easy it is to write music which sounds like other stuff. And that's what baffles me about, like, obviously I can't do music because I'm not musically talented, but even the thought of trying to write music, I'm just like, so overwhelming, like what you could do and how much stuff I've heard. I'm just like, would anything I make even be original? I don't know.
I mean, after we released it, so playing it live and stuff, obviously after all the comments, like, I think, okay, I'll change the way I sing it to make it sound not as bad. And a couple of people turned around and said, it sounds really good the way you're doing it. Should have recorded it like that. And I thought, well, thanks, you know, if I had a time machine, I'm sure I would. I'd have myself, yeah. But I kept saying to people, it is the song that sort of made and broke us, because we had so many people singing along to that song. I'm trying to sing it this new way and everyone's singing it the old way. And I thought, you ain't, this isn't helping. I want you to sing along, but not to this.
That's amazing. That's so good. I was going to say, the last thing I want to ask you about is just what sort of music at the moment that you're listening to? Like, what sort of, what have you gotten into recently?
It's, oh God, it's everything really. Mike from, obviously my first band, Infamous, or no, third band, he got me into Tech N9ne.
And
really? I've really been.
I'm so happy you say Tech N9ne.
Well, I started listening to him. He turned around and said, "Oh yeah, he did a song with Serge from
System
of a Down." So I checked that out and I thought, "Oh, it's such a really good song." But I listened to more of his stuff and I thought, "Yeah, it's really decent." But I didn't realise the metal side of stuff he did.
Like, oh yeah,
there's a song "Love to Dislike Me."
Oh, I love that song.
And as soon as, like, the first time I heard it, it started off as like, oh, this is alright, and it kicked it, and it started kicking it. I thought, yes, 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 fucking yes.
He's my favourite rapper by far. I absolutely fucking love Tech N9ne.
Yeah, he's brilliant. It's just some of the stuff he's done.
He's got a song with Corey Taylor. Have you heard that?
Yeah, yeah. And I think the last album he did, not Planets, the one before that, he did a song with Jonathan Davies.
Yep, yep.
Which I'd been listening to him for about a year. The album had been out for ages, and I kept sort of looking through it, thinking, there's nothing on here. I really want that. It really shines out.
Yeah.
And then it sort of, I got Spotify, and then it said with Jonathan Davies, and I thought, how have I missed this? And I listened to it, and I thought, my man, this is sick.
He's got an older song with the Deftones as well. He's got a song with one of the members of the Doors. He really likes mixing genres together. That's one of his key things.
Yeah, it's brilliant the way he does it. Some of the stuff I keep on, it's like, because obviously Mike's now doing his rap stuff, I keep on saying to him, I want to collab with you in a way, because he got me into Tech N9ne. I know he likes Tech N9ne, and I keep thinking, just something like this would be amazing, even if it's like completely all hip hop. But I say more of a mature version of It's Just Me. I don't want to just be standing there just screaming into the mic, get jiggy with it, because you know, it's just not cool anymore. But I got so many mates that make samples and stuff. I said, I can literally just get you your own stuff and I can put some guitar over it, make it sound fucking solid.
Yeah, yeah.
But stuff like that I'd love to do. And who else am I listening to now? Like Post Malone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I say, I know you posted on, I think it was a couple of hours ago actually, saying you were sort of a bit annoyed that you're actually getting into him. And I thought, I was the exact same.
Yeah.
That's what I listened to. I thought, I don't want to like him, but this is sick.
Yeah, exactly. It's just the genre I hate. I don't, I love rap music. Obviously I know it's the main thing, but everyone likes Eminem, so I like Eminem. I like a guy called Hopsin. I think he's fantastic. Yeah, he's on a couple of Tech N9ne tracks. He's really good. His Ill Mind stuff is some of the best rapping I've ever heard. So clever. And he's really emotional, and he's got a lot of like more heavier stuff as well. And Tech N9ne's amazing, and there's Chris Calico, who's one of Tech N9ne's. He's got a couple of albums that are sick. He has an album called I shouldn't have said the album called, because I've completely forgotten what it's called. Oh, Kicking and Screaming. That's a really good album, and that's got a couple of tracks that are really quite heavy as well. So, and there's quite a few other bands. Scroobius Pip, I love him. He's have you listened to Scroobius Pip ever?
Yeah, it came up. I must have shared one of his videos a while ago, because it came up in my memories, and I thought I completely forgot about this song.
Was that he's got he's into punk music and rock music and that sort of stuff, so you can kind of hear the twist of it in his music a bit. And like, I really like rap music, and I like unique rap music, and a lot of the mainstream pop rap music now is things like Young Thug and Ray Strummer and shit like that, and it's just, or New Drake. I cannot stand New Drake at all.
See, I've been listening to the song forever.
Oh yeah, that's a good song though. Yeah, Kanye, Lil Wayne, and Eminem.
Yeah, because I really like that. It's probably old school, the only old school Drake I've actually listened to, but I kept sort of slating Drake most of the time, but listen to it, I think it's actually a pretty sick verse. It's a decent song.
Yeah,
I really
that
like
song.
It.
Same with Lil Wayne.
But because of all the stuff he's done, since Hotline Bling, it's sort of like, it's, everyone sort of posted all the jokes about his fucking dad dancing, and it's like, oh God, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And then he started releasing more, so I thought, it's just, it's crap.
Yeah.
I don't see why he's as big as it, but he's like, he's number one artist on Spotify at the moment. It has been for the past couple of months. It's like, how?
Yeah.
It's just, there's so many better artists out there.
Well, that's what annoys me about it. I think Post Malone is the best of that genre of the overly auto-tuned trap hoppy sort of thing. And I think Post Malone is fantastic. Not to slate Post Malone, but I don't quite understand why so many people are so hugely into him. I mean, maybe as I'm getting into him now, I kind of realise Beer Bongs and Bentleys is a great album. I'm not too into Stony, but I'm going to have to give that a listen. But it's even like, we're saying with Drake, is Drake's newest stuff, whenever I hear it on the radio, it's so bad for me, because I think rap should be, it should sound good, it should have a cool flow, a good beat, that sort of thing. And I find Tech N9ne's got all those things and more. And when you listen to Drake, it's, the lyrics are shit, he can't sing, his rapping is really slow, it's like not even rapping, it's just talking, there's auto-tune over it vaguely, and then the beat is really minimalist. And it's like, my idea with music and pretty much all art is, it either has to be unique or good, sort of thing. In a way that, like, either no one else has done it in a good way, or that it's brilliant and other people couldn't necessarily do it, you know? Like, with art, if you draw something really weird and abstract that looks cool, that's fine. But when you get people who draw, like, you know, they just do one shade of, just, like, 12 shades of red, and it's just painted up and down, it's just like, fuck you. You know what I mean? Like, fuck off. Like, there's so many talented artists and painters and this sort of thing that can draw and create so much cool shit, and then someone actually gets recognition from literally getting, like, 8 different paint shades and just painting on one canvas, like, up and down strokes. It's like, anyone can do that, so it's shit. There's no uniqueness to it, because it's so bland almost. Of course no one's done that before, because it's so unbelievably crap. And that's what I feel about Drake, where it's just, I could basically do that. If you got a producer, I could actually release the music Drake releases. And that, for me, annoys me, because like, why would you ever want to listen to that? Because it's so shit. And it triggers me, and it's just like, and that's what bothers me a little bit about some of the music when you get really, really deep end heavy. Like, I know you like a bit more heavy music than I do, but you get a certain music, black metal for me is more so it, even though I'm not necessarily all black metal's like this, but you get some of the bands where every drum beat is just, and then the guitar gets, and then the guy is just literally, and that's the whole song, every song, and that's what old Cannibal Corpse was like. Like, new Cannibal Corpse actually isn't bad, but the old stuff, like Hammer Smash Face and things like that, the quality of it was horrendous. But some of it,
it's like most, it's like the new side of deathcore at the moment, and slam. Mm. It's all the same. I think most people listen to it for essentially the wow factor of how heavy it is.
Mm.
Not that, because I mean, I saw a band called Within Destruction live. Absolutely incredible. The vocalist is something else. I didn't expect him to pull off what he did.
Yeah.
But I mean, the album is just essentially just the blast beat side of it is just extremely fast. The riffs are just crazy. And then it's out of nowhere, either a breakdown or it's a beatdown, it's heavy as shit. And then I'll just do that for every single song on the album. Mm. And they just released a new album. And I thought, I'll give this a go. But I know what it's going to sound like. And then I thought, that's exactly what I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, yeah. It's funny that we mentioned Killswitch Engage earlier. And I'll start to wrap this up shortly. But like, with Killswitch Engage, I love Killswitch Engage. I think they're fantastic. But I describe it... I describe something as Killswitch Engage syndrome, okay? Now, what I describe that as is when you get an album where if you like it, it's amazing because every song sounds the same. Mm. But if you don't like it, it's crap because every song sounds the same. Now, Killswitch, I think if you get really into them, you can tell the difference between the songs in their albums. But you listen to, like, what's the one with... they've got... What's the... I'm going to picture the cover. It's the skull. A Daylight Dies.
Oh, yeah.
Now, that album's got some fucking amazing tunes on it. But if you take out the three singles, the rest of the songs sound really similar to each other. And a lot of the time, if you played like a few verses from them and not the chorus, to even people like me who really like the album, I couldn't tell you what songs are which. I can tell you what songs I like because I know the names of the songs, but they all sound so similar. And that's great if you like it, because if you love Killswitch Engage, you get a whole album that's really consistent. But you get it whereas a Slipknot's quite the opposite. Even though Slipknot, their first album, sounds similar-ish, if we use their third album as an example, every song sounds like it could be on a different album almost.
Yeah.
And it depends on the band, but I find when you get the heavier stuff, the problem is, especially when you get really heavy, like deathcore, like Chelsea Grin and that sort of thing, I think Chelsea Grin have they've got a song on my Oblivion album called Calling in Silence, and that's one of my favourite... metalcore. That's one of my favorite songs ever. I think that's one of the coolest heavy songs I've ever heard. But that whole album is good, but there's like three tracks that stand out, and then the other nine just all sound like worse versions of that track. And that's what I find is the issue a lot of the time with a lot of new music with Spotify and that sort of thing, because where they don't make music off albums anymore, they release an album to have a release, and then they have three or four singles they play live, and the rest of the tracks don't really matter, because you know what I mean? You listen on Spotify, they don't make that much money from it. People buy an album when it first comes out because they've heard the singles. It doesn't matter about the quality of the album. And then if they've got five decent tracks out of 12, you see them live and they play those tracks. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's quite a thing of music that kind of gets to me a little bit. But I can't complain because I pay 10 quid a month for Spotify and I get bored of a band every week because I can just get into something new.
Yeah, I don't know. I bought Spotify the end of last year.
Yeah.
Because I was buying albums every year because I kept saying to myself, no, I'm gonna support music.
I was the same.
I'm going to have to buy albums of bands I listen to, and that is strictly all I can listen to.
Yeah.
And then I think Spotify did something like you got 99p for 3 months.
Yeah.
And I thought, fuck it, I'll do it. And then I ended up getting it, and I thought, how have I lived my life like a Neanderthal all this time? And I just thought I had everything, and I thought it's just everywhere. It's just music everywhere.
It's the problem, isn't it? Because like, I really do want to support bands, but a band release an album and it costs between 8 quid on iTunes to download, or you want the physical album, it's 10, so it's 15 quid, right? And it's like, if you get into a band, you get into their back catalogue. If you get into a band that's been going for a few years, they've sometimes got four albums, but their first two albums are often shit. At least one or two. I find that bands normally have a phase in their life where it becomes shit. Either they're amazing from the start and then they become shit, or their early stuff is terrible and they get their sound a bit more. And I just like, sometimes you want to listen to their old stuff, but you don't want to spend 10 quid on it. Because Slipknot, if you get into them now, if you buy their albums, that'll cost you at least 50 quid.
Yeah.
But you go on Spotify, I can download all of them in the time it would take you to name every song on their first album. I can download them all like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's so hard because I'm in the same boat as you. I really want to support local bands. I do try and buy stuff from and things, or merch and whatever. But like smaller bands, I really want to buy their stuff, but I don't have enough money because,
I used to, I mean, I was always buying it. It's like when Our Hollows album came out, I ended up buying the album, but I generally think that the quality of albums now, like physical CDs, is shocking.
Mm.
Like Hacktivist's album.
Yeah.
It's such a good album, but the CD, if you compare the quality to what it is on Spotify, is really different.
Really?
Like, because every time I listen to it, I kept thinking, I love it, but I can't listen to it with anything else because it's quieter than everything else.
Mm.
And the bass on it is insane. Like, if you were to plug it through some speakers and it turned up really loud, you would not be able to hear anything. Mm. It was just sort of noise. And then listen to it on Spotify and think, this is the best sounding album I've ever listened to. There's everything sounds thick as anything. It's amazing. And even our Hollows album, I bought the CD and all the tracks are supposed to be connected together, but every single song on the CD has got like 2 seconds between every song. So it'll be music, pause, nothing, and then it'll just like continue with the next song. And so we're like, well, where's the join? What are you doing? Yeah. But on Spotify and Apple Music, it's all connected perfectly. And you think, well, I don't understand why it should be that bad. Surely you want people to buy your physical shit to help you get more money. But you've made it so that listening to it this way is so much easier and so much better.
Mm. But it's almost like driving a car. Like I've got a CD player in my car and I've got a few CDs and stuff. You go over a little bump or a pothole, it can potentially fuck your entire disc up and laser burn it for it, and that's gone. Then you're like, oh great, now I've fucked up my CD player and my CD, and it burns the track I really like. Whereas you have your phone, you could fucking flip the car upside down. As long as your phone still doesn't get damaged, you're fine, aren't you? So, and I do agree with streaming music and stuff. I really want to support bands, but sometimes I will say that sometimes you get into bands where, do you ever get it where you get into a band and you hear a single or two and you go, I'm not sure about these guys. You're not sure. You download them on Spotify and their singles are shit, but the rest of the tracks are fucking amazing. Yeah. And I would never have bought that album because I can't warrant spending 10 quid on a gamble. But you do it on Spotify, and there's so many bands I've gotten into, which I love like half their tracks, but their singles are shit for me.
I think without Spotify, I wouldn't have gotten to Post Malone or Tech N9ne as much as I have.
Yeah.
Like, I listened to Post Malone from my mates. They used to just put on their singles and stuff, and then I actually downloaded their album, Stony, and then a couple of Tech N9ne songs, and I thought, I'll give it a proper listen. I thought, this is actually really good. There's so many songs on it I wouldn't have even known existed if it wasn't for this.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have just gone out and bought it. But I don't know. It's so much easier now. So much better.
It's so painfully better and easier. And it's literally like, someone, if we're talking now and I just go, oh boy, there's a band, like when people recommend me bands now, it used to be, I write a note on my phone, I then go home, I either buy it on iTunes or maybe sometimes I'd maybe go online and download it illegally. But if any of the law is asking me, I'd never do that because I'm not a bad person. you go on Pirate Bay and you just think, there's a band, I'm not too sure about them, and I can't warrant spending 15 quid on that album. I'm going to download it, which obviously is wrong, morally. But I've done that and then got so into the band because of that, I've then bought their merch. So that's how I kind of grant myself for it. But you tell me a band, I have to look at it on my phone, I have to come back, I have to go on my laptop. Even if I buy it on iTunes, I still have to come on here, buy it, sync it to my iPhone, blah, 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 blah. Or even if you've got it on your phone, you buy on iTunes on your phone, you still have to faff about with that. Spotify is, you say to me, a band, and I go, okay. And then while we're still talking, I don't even have to stop the conversation, where I can type in the band, it brings up, most of the time, every album and every single they got. You go click download when I'm on Wi-Fi, then when you next walk in your house, it just auto downloads and you've got it.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking easy, and it's actually upsetting because I so want to pay for bands music, but it's so fucking difficult. And there's so many bands I get into that I just can't, because they've got such mismatch of songs where there's like 3 songs from one album I like and then 4 songs from another.
Madness. Yeah, that's the issue. Well, at the moment, I've got loads of CDs in my house, and I just sort of look at them every now and then and think, I could sell you. I don't know what you're doing here now.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm going through a thing now where, because obviously I bought so many, if I got the full back catalogue so far, or obviously if they've broken up, if I got up to that point, I'll keep them.
Yeah.
And then I'll just keep building that up and then just keep that. But I mean, I've got so many bands where it's just albums died around. Like Five Finger Death Punch, I love them, but I've only got their second album and their latest album on physical CD. I thought, I'm not going to spend money to get all the albums in between.
Mm.
Well, I can just download it all now.
Exactly. And also the bands don't even get that much money either, because the record labels take such a chunk.
Yeah.
But I was in the same boat as you, because I had every Devil Driver album and every Slipknot album. And there was a couple other bands that I was really into, that I think Stone Sour, and I had all their albums. And then they release an album, and like Devil Driver, they released an album called Beast, and I wasn't that into it. So obviously, and they released a covers album recently for some reason. And it's just like, I want to have the back catalogue, but then if you really think about it, there's not actually any point, because CDs, maybe I'll be wrong, but I highly doubt there's ever going to be a time where me having every Slipknot CD is ever going to be worth anything. Maybe. Maybe it will. But it's quite unlikely, and they're quite a lot of space. One or two CDs isn't that bad, but I've got at least 50, at least. I think I've probably got almost 100, and it's just a box in my room collecting dust. And I've got a couple of CDs in my car, just in case my aux cable fucks up. But I find myself, if my aux cable to my phone fucks up, I just play music off my phone, off the speaker. Yeah. I don't even think about the CD, because it's like, I don't want to hear the whole Architects album. I want to hear two Architects songs, then five songs by another metalcore band, and then da-da-da-da-da, you know?
But yeah, so I mean, I'm making playlists every day now, just something different to listen to, and it's so easier now. And then if I don't want to listen to that, I can undownload it, send it back into the wild, and I'll download something else, and then I could do the same thing the next day. I could just, you know, download, undownload the same album five times in a week.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't matter. It's not going to damage me in any sort of way.
No, exactly.
But it's like you said, it's horrible at the moment.
It is. It's upsetting, and it's bad you being in a band, and that's what's happening to you as well. So.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, shoot yourself in the foot.
Yeah, I don't know anymore.
Well, fair enough, man. Well, we're coming up towards the end now, so I think it's probably a good time to sort of wrap it up. It's getting a bit late as well. But if you want to, say any of your, obviously your band is Scars of Protest, and I'll put a link to that below. Do you have any? If you don't worry about it. But do you have any Instagram or social media or anything like that? If anyone fancies following you or any of your musical endeavors,
Like Mike said, just check out Scars of Protest on Facebook. We are on Instagram and YouTube as well. Just
your album's on Spotify as well, isn't it? Is it Celestial?
Yeah, Celestial. We got our first one as well, the Purify EP, and our Pile Driver single. And obviously, yeah, we are recording soon, so that'll be up there in the next couple of months.
Yeah, I'll definitely put the description in the podcast and stuff. And yeah, I think also one of the tracks on there. I'll just quickly get it up just before I go, because I'm really professional. There was one track on there specifically. I think the album is really good, and I'd really recommend people, because the genres. It's kind of like nu metal-ish, isn't it? It's got the rap element to it.
Yeah, it's hard to explain it to people. I like to say it's like Limp Bizkit, but if you were to throw in everything modern into it.
Yeah.
Because it's got the melodic side to it. It's also got a couple of breakdowns into it, and it's heavy enough, but it's not...
It's accessible.
Breakdown, beatdown heavy. Yeah. It's heavy as in...
It's punchy, I'd say.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very good. I imagine it'd be great live, so I do keep meaning to come see you. But I think it was Purify, which the last track on the album, I think, was my favourite, or might have been Equinox. But I realised that you've got a song, My Own Icarus, with Christina Rotondo.
Yeah.
She, I believe, is in the... I've got a
placeholder EP.
Yeah. So... For anyone, you should listen to the placeholder EP, The Grey, and listen to the song Relief with Christina Rotondo on it. And also listen to the Scars of Protest album Celestial, which got her on it as well. It's a nice little way to wrap it up. Well, yeah, thank you very much for coming on the podcast, Ryan. I'll have to make sure to get a picture of your tattoos. I'm going to remember.
Right.
Yeah, thank you very much for coming on. It's been a great chat, and maybe I'll have you on in the next few years or so when you've got more musical endeavours and whatnot.
Yeah, or more shit stories.
Definitely, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, no problem.
And that's the end of part two. Thanks as always for tuning in, guys. You know, as me and Ryan were talking about in this podcast, the band that he's in, Scars of Protest, anyone who's into sort of the more heavier genre of music, or even like, I think we mentioned it briefly in the podcast, but Limp Bizkit-y, I think there's a band called Seven Dust that are kind of rappy and heavy as well. I think Scars of Protest are more consistent than Limp Bizkit. I mean, Limp Bizkit do have some absolutely cracking tunes, but they also have a lot of albums that have a lot of songs in there that no one really listens to. I say no one. If you listen to Limp Bizkit, I'm very sorry. I'm not really. But yeah, check out Scars of Protest. Their latest release is Celestial, and I think they're recording in the studio over the coming weeks, so be sure to follow them on social media. I think I've put a link to their sort of details in the podcast. I believe I did in last week's one. If I didn't, then I'm a terrible human being, but I think I did. So yeah. Anyway, next week I'm going to be releasing a podcast I did with my friend Molly. Now, in the podcast with Erin that was released a couple of weeks ago, we did briefly speak about Molly, and Erin said in the podcast that she's going to look forward to that one because it's going to be a great one. Well, Erin was correct. I think the one that I've done with Molly Might be my new favourite. I'm really sorry, Wayne, because Wayne's, I think, was my favourite before that. But funnily enough, the one with Molly, we talk about Wayne. So, and the podcast, more specifically, the podcast that that me and Wayne did. The paleontology one, which is absolutely fantastic. And also Wayne talking about, sort of talking about the book he made, book he wrote, but also going into sort of the depths of the human condition and good versus evil and really doing what you're passionate about and that sort of thing. So I really recommend people go check out the episode with Wayne, either if you're into paleontology, which is, you know, fossils, dinosaurs, that sort of thing in layman's terms, and also the other one, which is just really inspirational and it's just a really in. It's a cool look into humans, really. That's kind of best way of putting it, which is apt from a paleontologist, kind of funnily. But yeah, so be sure to check those ones out. And next week, yep, the one with Molly, we talk about a wide variety of subjects. It's going to be hard for me to kind of summarize it in this. I just listened back to some of it and we talk about so much. And Molly is such an incredibly intriguing individual. And obviously the majority of people listening to this will never have met Molly. And quite frankly, I feel sorry for you. She is a fantastic person. I feel really bad for not keeping in contact with her over the last like 8 years. Because we were friends in school, and then much like a fair amount of the guests on here that I've known in the past, life just kind of gets in the way and you don't really have time to, you know, you don't have time to speak to every single person that you knew in school and college and all those sorts of other things, because life just gets far too busy for that sort of thing. But, you know, Molly's doing a lot of crazy cool stuff with herself, and it's one of those podcasts where I just think almost everyone would enjoy it. So yeah, big up to my own podcast release next week. yeah, I don't think there's much else to say really, guys. As I always say, you know, follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, review us on iTunes, send me any messages either via email or on any of the social media things for any criticisms, or if you really like the show or anything along those lines. I think that's about it, really. So thanks as always for tuning in, guys, and I'll talk to you next week.